Welcome to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. The Army Football Show is an insider's guide for cadets, old grads, and college football fans to follow the Army team throughout their season as they seek to beat Navy and claim the Commander-in-Chief's trophy. Ask for Football is brought to you by our sponsor, Jocelyn Bradley Real Estate. Whether you're buying, selling, or just exploring your options, Jocelyn Bradley is the expert you can trust to navigate the real estate market with ease. Visit jocelynbradley.com to learn more. And let's get started at the Ask for Football Army Football Show.
Welcome back, Army sports fans, to the Ask for Football Army Football Show. It's been like 8 months since I've had to say that phrase out loud. It's good to be back. It's your host, Jordan, in Dayton, Ohio this week, joined by Dan in Coastal Connecticut, Rob in Fayetteville, North Carolina, and special guest Paul Horn and coming from Naples. Gentlemen, how are we doing?
I am good, man. Paul and I've known Paul's wife forever. We've been talking about getting him on the show for literally years. We finally got it done. Fired up, man.
Let's do it.
I'm looking forward to it. Talking about front seven play. You know me. I like the trenches. The trenches are where most of the action happens. And I don't know if you guys are paying attention, but Thomas Castellanos, a name that is familiar to Army fans, now is at Texas Tech. So he's probably going to be the number one quarterback there. And that's just like recently breaking news, unless the Big 12 follows suit with SEC and the Big 10 and basically slams the door on those returning players from the NFL, which is nuts.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking that you can go to the league, not do a whole lot, and then just go back to college, and that's okay. So I imagine that one of the Alabama teams will do that, and then I'm sure the NCAA will slap a death penalty on them for doing what LSU did that no one batted an eye at. So, anyway, speaking of batting an eye, if you want your house to sell in the bat of an eye, you should talk to Jocelyn Bradley. Rob, talk us through that.
Yeah. So welcome back, friends. If you have listened to the show before, you know that we have a sponsor here. Her name is Jocelyn Bradley. Jocelyn is a member of the Longray Line class of 2010. She's served as an Army logistics officer where she honed her passions for impacting in people's lives. Now as a dedicated realtor, she brings you the same commitment in helping you find the home of your dreams. Jocelyn provides exceptional personalized service and ensures a seamless home buying experience that's tailored to your needs. Beyond Fort Bragg, Jocelyn has an extensive network of trusted veteran realtors that's spanning the country, and she can help you find support anywhere your next PCS takes you. Whether you're relocating to the Fort Bragg area or across the country, Jocelyn makes recommendations at no cost, and she will hook you up with a professional of integrity in the next market that you're going into. As a proud supporter of Ask for Football this season, Jocelyn is a realtor that you can trust to guide you to a home. Reach out to her today and make your next move effortless. Thanks.
Thanks, Rob. All right, we're going to change things up a little bit this week and do a fact or fiction.
Fact.
That is correct.
Or fiction.
Incorrect.
You can tell we're still in the preseason.
Yeah, we did not have our pre-production meeting. anyway, so fact or fiction. In a recent interview with Go Black Knights, offensive coordinator Cody Worley talked about running 13 personnel, that is three tight ends, one running back, and potentially throwing out of that look. Smoke and mirrors or real talk? What do we think, guys?
I am going to go fact. I'll bet they do it at least once this season, and I'll bet you see that three tight end set an average of once every other game. Does that count as a fact?
I think it does. I mean, you said you were going to say fiction.
Well, I lied to you, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, you lied to me. Thanks. Glad I put my trust in you, Dan. Rob?
I am going to say fiction. Memorex 100%. Like, we've seen all this stuff before. We talk about it, and then at some point we get overcome by events and it just doesn't go in. Like, I'd love to see it. Like, let's be real. Like, a multiple tight end package is great. They've got the bodies to do it. Mm-hmm. They've got the talent to do it. Now, whether or not they choose to pull the trigger, and if we do see it, contrary to what Dan thinks, it's probably going to be later in the season because you typically don't put an offensive wrinkle in early. But that would be my only thing, is probably second half of the season.
Okay. Paul, what do you think?
Well, I'm going to say fact, because I think they are already doing that. And in some of the formations, I went back and looked at the Army-Navy game last year just for because that's the most important one for you guys. And they're already lining up with their big old wide receivers kind of in tight end positions. So it kind of already has that look to it. And of course, with Tech's out there, Tech Brandon being the number two guy, he's going to get on the field a bunch of big old class of 95 Mafia son up there. So I'm rooting that they do a whole bunch of tight ends for everybody.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, besides the fact that Cody said that they were going to do it, I think this is kind of the next evolution. You know, Monken is continually trying to do different things, continually trying to innovate. And, you know, Paul, to your point, I think they've already been doing a version of this. And so I think we'll probably see some more of it. Dan, I don't disagree that, you know, I think we're going to see other things. We're probably going to run a little bit, Rob, to your point. But I do think we'll probably see more of this than we have in years past.
Well, it is. You go to these preseason scrimmages or whatever, and they throw 100% more, 200%
more. Sure. Right. And the defense comes together. And I saw the highlight and the defense was intercepting the offense and whatever else. Fine. But I think, you know, Monken bet on Cody Worley kind of being the next evolution of the Army offense. And so I think is the next step in that direction.
Yeah, that's a fair point. You know, and I think the reality of it is, you know, it helps with your running game, right? If I put in multiple tight ends that are athletic, then I can do a lot of stuff out of that formation that people may not expect. But like I said, I don't expect them to line up, you know, first snap of the 2026 season in 13 set. It's probably not going to happen.
I was going to say it puts a big challenge on those defenses with the personnel matchup. When you bring those big bodies in, they're going to bring the big bodies in to match it. And if your big bodies can run and catch the ball, it gives you an advantage off the bat. And so why not? Preach. Why not give it a whirl?
Preach.
Yeah, 100%.
I was about to say, it doesn't matter if we're running or passing, you know, we got to talk about the offensive line either way. So, Paul, I think you were probably the expert on this show as it comes to offensive line. Sorry, Rob. Dana, why don't you kick off this little fireside chat, if you will?
All right. So, Paul, as I said, you know, I've known your wife forever, literally forever, much more than three decades. Well, more than three decades.
Yeah.
But you and I only met a couple years ago, I think, in person right before the Army-Navy game in D.C. or Baltimore, one of those.
Yeah.
But, you know, mutual friends, including Ray, have been telling us to get you on the show for years. So tell everybody a little bit about yourself, because I know, but they don't, obviously.
Well, I married the Army in 1996 with my wife, who was a class of 95 grad, and followed her around for a couple of years. And once she got out of the Army, we moved from Fort Stewart down here to Naples, Florida. We've been here for going on 30 years now, and have been a very successful run with Naples High School. We won a couple state championships, been to a bunch of state semifinals, and had a chance to coach an Army All-American game one year as my head coach was the head coach of the Army-Navy game or the Army-American game, and he needed an offensive line coach, so I got the nod for that. But football's been a big part of my life, and it's been something that I've been able to pass on the passion to a couple generations of football players now. And having a desire to put a good product out on the field has left us in a good situation where we got, I don't know, at some point we were probably averaging 10 and a half, 11 wins a year for about 20 years. So
wow,
track record there.
Yeah. So your website, trenchdoctor.com, lists a lot of really impressive accomplishments, including a couple of state championships there in Florida. Yeah. Tell me the truth. Is it easy to win a state championship in Florida?
Man, I tell you what, I don't think it's easy to win a state championship anywhere. Even if you're the most talented, favored team in the state, there are so many things that can get in the way. A twisted ankle, a teacher that has it in for a kid in the classroom, a girlfriend gets pissed, car accident, you know, whatever it may be. There's so many things out there that could derail a successful run. So when you get deep in the playoffs, you kind of feel that pressure that you want to perform at that particular time, because you don't know if you're ever going to have another chance to get back. And, you know, I say that we went to three state championships from 2000 to 2010, went to a couple semifinals in there, and we never made it. I haven't made it back to a state championship since 2007. So despite a successful run, we our road to the playoffs goes through Miami Northwestern and Miami Central. And while that's a big challenge, they have a lot of talented guys over there every year, and they just reload. And, you know, going against the likes of Dalvin Cook and James Cook and Amari Cooper was out of that system over there. So that talent pool is a hard talent pool to beat year in and year out. So we've had a couple close runs against those teams, but we're never quite able to get over the hump and get to that last game of the season because of that tough road we had to run.
So when I was listening to your show, one of the things you always get into with your guests is like your football journey. So how did you get into the game and how did you get onto the O-line?
Yeah, I always enjoyed the contact, the physicality aspect of it, where you go out on the field and you get to do things on the football field that you can't do anywhere else. You probably get put in jail if you did some of those things in public. So that always appealed to me. And I honestly went to a couple camps and I tried to play quarterback when I was younger and I had great hands. I wanted to play tight end, but I was the biggest guy in the school and it put me at left tackle and I was fine with that. I enjoyed being able to take an offensive mindset to that offensive line position where I'm not reacting. I was kind of enforcing what I wanted to have happen on that defense alignment, and had an opportunity to go to the College of William & Mary and walked on there. I was a walk-on for a couple years, earned a scholarship my last few years there.
Oh, wow.
Had the opportunity to play with Mike Tomlin and Sean McDermott, were a couple of teammates of mine who've gone on to big things with the NFL, and this will be the first season that I don't have a teammate as a head football coach in the NFL, so it's going to be a little new for me not having the access that – not that I use it for anything, sure. But it was always nice to be able to text those guys and say congratulations. So I got out of William & Mary, got married with my wife, and I joined the long gray line, and off we went. There we go.
How in the world did you meet Shannon from a football yeah. player at William & Mary? That's, with apologies, that's a little random in my professional experience.
I agree. It is a complete random thing. We were she was trying to get away from West Point. You're all your yuck year. Is that what you call your sophomore year?
Yeah.
Yeah. The yuck year, she had a chance to get away from post with a FCA, a Fellowship of Christian Athletes retreat. And okay. somebody, one of the girls, I believe it was Darlene, invited her to go to the FCA retreat. And she said, is it happening off post? And she said, yes. And my wife immediately said, yes, as she was in. And it was down in Northern Virginia. So they came down with a West Point contingent. And I was the FCA leader at William & Mary. And so we went up to that with our group and we ran into each other there. You're all's yuck year, but we didn't actually touch back together and start dating until you're all's first year. So we had a couple years in between there where we were writing letters back and forth, the old pen pal situation. Wow. And then I came up for 100th night and that was it. I never looked back.
Awesome, man. That's awesome. Okay. So switching focus a little bit, As for Football's mission is to enhance the fan experience. As you know, I'm a swimmer, right? So we're all learning here. At least I am. We're trying to get our listeners to be better Army fans and better football fans in general. And so, you know, I have my way of approaching this, but from your perspective, what are people not watching that they probably should be watching? Like, Rob always tells me I'm watching the game wrong.
Yeah, well, Rob's probably right, but knowing what he's already told me, he likes to watch the front seven. So I have four stats for you that are influential and can be a killer if a team gets it wrong, and can be a benefit if they get it right. And the other thing that I was going to say is, after watching Army football last year, and particularly the Army-Navy game, I went back and broke that down. I didn't get completely broke down, but I got most of it broke down. I didn't see an option play out of Army until the 33rd play of the game was an option play.
Yeah.
And so again, I'm not casting stones or throwing shade, but I feel like the Army's gotten away from their option game a little bit. And that super back that they used to pound the big fullback up in there and make people try to get in there and stop the fullback dive on the option and just, you know, pound it, and then boom, break it on the edge with one of your wing backs and get out there and really stress people. I would call that the old school Army option way. It doesn't seem like they're doing that as much anymore. So that would be my first thing, looking to see how much option they're actually running, as opposed to just hitting the quarterback up in there hard or running a quarterback counter or a toss sweep. You know, I felt like Army kind of got predictable with some of their play calling last year. Having said all that, there's four stats that I think that if you're a fan in the stands and you kind of keep a running tally in your head, the first one is turnovers. And okay. I'll get into the specifics next. But the first one is turnovers. The second one is explosive plays. The third one is drive efficiency. And the fourth one is play efficiency. And so I went back and I broke down Army's season on all these stats. And so essentially the turnovers, which is there's 3 points to this. When you turn the ball over, it ends your drive, obviously. And yep. It gives away the possession. And so the other team gets another chance at it, right? And that's going to turn back into drive efficiency later. So just keep that in mind. Essentially, each turnover and these statistics, they've, you know, people much smarter than me and with a lot more degrees after their name have figured all this out. But essentially, they're equating a turnover to a lack of 5 points. It's either taking 5 points off your score or preventing you from getting 5 points is how the statistics break down. So not only are you ending the possession and giving the other team another shot at getting into the end zone or scoring points, but you're taking 5 points off the board. Your field position that you give away, every 10 yards you are farther away from your end zone that you're going to score, you lose 10% score probability. So, for example, if you start at the 20-yard line, you have a 20% chance of scoring. That's the probability of scoring. So if you get out to the 50 and you're driving and you fumble the ball, you just gave the team the ball at the 50 and you gave them a 50% chance of scoring. So that field position is a massive indicator as far as what the other team's going to be able to do and what you can do. So that's something to keep in mind too. As you're watching the game, as Army pushes towards the end zone, that probability of scoring increases. And keep that in mind too, because we're going to come back to that stat in a second as far as the explosive plays and how that factors in together. Army had 11 turnovers last year. I think they were the least amount of turnovers in FBS, if I remember correctly. So that Army seems to have that.
Unfortunately, they came in bunches.
They did come in bunches, here's the other thing though. You would think the bunches would kill them, but in their 6 losses last year, they were 5 losses were one possession games.
Mm-hmm.
And so one score game. So that's. And only the 2 of those games did I feel like turnovers impacted the game. So when you look at it on whole, those 2 games where they had turnovers that I felt like impacted the final score, that's pretty good. When you only have 11, but they come in bunches, but it only cost you 2 games, you don't want it to cost you any game. But if that's going to happen, I think that's a natural progression of what's going on. The second big area is explosive plays. An explosive play is defined as a 10-yard or more run and a 20-yard or more pass, right? And Army had, let's see here, before I say that, the drives, if you have an explosive play on your drive, it is going to triple the expectation for points. So
interesting.
A 10-yard run or 20-yard pass is going to triple the scoring probability in your favor. And here's why it does that, because it takes chunks of yards out of the scenario. Okay. And so a typical series is on average is going to be about 6 or 7 first downs you need to get in order to score a touchdown if you start at the 20-yard line. Every first down you need is going to decrease the probability that drive keeps going. And these are all statistics that, like, people do all this stuff. They analyze all these games. And so as you get, if you have to only get one first down in order to score, you have a 72% probability of doing that. So if you get the ball at the 10-yard line, right, that's all good. And so if you get the ball at the, 20-yard line and you got to drive 6 or 7 first downs, but you can take 2 first downs off of that 6 or 7 first down total, then you just increase your probability. And so it's all, if you play the numbers, it's a numbers game and get the consistency on the football field where the numbers are going to be in your favor, right? And Army plods along, and we don't think of Army as an explosive play situation, but they did have a number of explosive plays last year. They had 69 of their drives, and they had 126 total drives on the season. 69 of their drives had explosive plays, either runs or passes in some way or another. And so of those 69 drives, 58 of those drives, or 83% of their drives, ended in points, right? So that's a massive indicator right there. So if you're seeing the teams, if they're holding on to the football and they're having a 10-yard run or a 20-yard pass in that series, that's good. Like, you in your mind, check that off as, okay, this is going well. Okay. And you can kind of gauge that as far as the game's going through and be like, oh, that's a 10-yard run. That's good. That just increased our probability of scoring. And so as a coach, I was always thinking in these probability statistic areas where what's the best probability here? Why, I was watching our team played Friday night, and we were 2nd and 1, and we were averaging like 8 yards running a power play. we like to play the option as well. So we ran the option two times in a row, and we ended up losing yardage, and it ends up being fourth and six instead of running power on second and short and getting the first down and securing the first down. And these statistics would have been in our favor to get that first down and knock it out of the way, but we didn't do it. We ended up having to punt. So though they seem like they're insignificant stats, they all compile and compound on top of each other and make it something that it's easy to, if you don't know what you're looking for, just look for 10-yard runs, 20-yard passes, and Army holding on to the football one way or another. The third aspect is drive efficiency. Now, the FBS series average for drive efficiencies, and that's scoring points at the end of a drive, is about 32 to 35% of FBS teams score on their drives, which is not good. A 40% scoring drive scoring on 40% of your drives is pretty good, and 45% or higher is really good. Army was at 40% last year. They scored on 51 of their 126 possessions, which puts them in a pretty good category. So if you see that Army is – if they have 10 possessions in a game, you want to see points on four of those possessions. If they're doing that, they're probably going to win the game. If they're not turning the ball over, they have a 10-yard run or 20-yard pass, and you see them scoring on four of their possessions, Army should win that game 80-85% of the time, unless something crazy happens or you're just going against a very uber-talented team. The last one, another caveat to that is red zone efficiency. And when you convert, Army converted 74% of their red zone possessions last year in wins, and 53% of their red zone in losses. So that's an indicator too. If they get down inside the 20 and they score, that they're probably going to win. If they don't score inside the 20, miss a field goal, block a field goal, fumble, or don't get in the end zone, they're not going to win. So that's a good thing to look at as well. And the last one's play efficiency, which is a little bit more nerdier, a stat to look at. And there's no way you're going to keep track of this if you're drinking a beer and having a pretzel up in Mikey Stadium, because it's too much to watch. But first down efficiency is getting 50% of the yards you need. So if it's first and 10, you get 5 yards. That first down was efficient. Second down, you want to get 70% of the yards you need. So if it's second and 5, you need to get 3.5 yards. And then on third and fourth down, getting 100% of yards. And so if you track all that, which is that's a stat that you do after the game to see how well you're doing. But those four stats, I think, are something that you can pay attention to. So, again, no turnovers, an explosive play, 10-yard, 20-yard runs and passes, and their drive efficiency. If they're scoring on 40% of their drives or more, Army should have a really good season. That's what I would say.
I think you've convinced me that the Black Knights had a much better team than I thought, with the caveat that we understand that the plan was to start probably Ethan Washington, and he tore his ACL. Mm-hmm. And then they were going to start, what's the other kid's name? Who did Blaine start?
Coleman.
Thank you. They were going to start Coleman. Coleman didn't really work out. So, now you're on your number three quarterback and you don't get that sort of figured out until 5 games in. I mean, I can't prove this, but I would be willing to bet that one of the reasons we saw so much quarterback power is just that they had a guy in there that hadn't taken as many snaps as they would have liked.
Yeah.
So,
which that very well could be the case.
And in which case you would expect a massive improvement this season.
Well, I mean, you have 8 out of 11 starters coming back.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You lost your left guard and what is it? A couple of the wing backs maybe. Yeah. I think, or not
two
back.
Slots.
Yeah.
Yeah. Two slots, one
two line. Two slots and a left guard. So,
yeah.
I mean, that's a right guard, whichever one of the guards isn't coming back. I would think that as Army fans, we should have some high expectations for them, especially having competed as well as they did in some of those games last year. The only was it East Carolina, I think, was the only game that they weren't in, if I remember correctly, where they got
the doors blown off. Drop 2 touchdowns.
Yeah.
So, yes. Yeah, that's true. Okay. Well, that makes me feel good. I like that. We're doing good here. And of course it's pointing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was surprised. Like, I expected a whole lot different situation there, but, then as a football coach, I went back and I graded the Army Navy game, and that's the one I was disappointed about. I didn't get all the way through it. I just grading the game off of YouTube takes infinitely longer than if I had my football software. But I was not happy with how the left side of the line was performing in that game. And so they need to step it up a little bit. Left guard and left tackle were lacking in my estimation of what they were doing. particularly the left guard. I'm sure he was doing as hard as playing as hard as he could. It was Will.
Well, Jeffco. We're not attacking anybody. We understand yeah. that, you know, yep. being an athlete.
I'm rooting for him. I want him to do better. Want him to do yeah. better.
So let me ask you this. As yep. long as we're talking about Army Navy, they moved the ball well in the first half and they couldn't buy a first down in the second half. Is that, if you had to guess, if you had to say one thing, one reason why that happened, I know what I think it was, but what do you think?
Well, I think, so I have a caveat here. I'm in the process of writing some football software to okay. use and to distribute and eventually put out on the market. And it basically tracks how guys are doing during the game. Okay. And I could see that the left side of the line starting in the third quarter was not very good at all. They weren't very good. And I'm not sure, you know, when you run in that quarterback option or quarterback ISO and yeah. the other team just really has to focus on one guy and their yeah. formations that, you know, they, I don't know how many formations they came out in, probably somewhere in the neighborhood of maybe 8 or 9 formations. But if you're only running quarterback ISO and you're only in 8 or 9 formations, it gets pretty easy to figure out what's going on. And Navy's got a bunch of smart guys out there too. So when they see the same set and they've seen it happen 6 or 7 times, they, you know, they kind of can start cheating the game a little bit and know what's going on. It didn't help that, the kid ran the interception in for a touchdown and had his knee down, unfortunately, for Army. And I think there was another tough call in the first half that went against them that could have made a big difference. But they were, competing hard. And at the very end, was that last year's game where Navy fumbled at the end of the game and they didn't get the fumble? If I remember correctly, didn't Navy fumble down near the goal line?
And
there was 2 or 3 very questionable calls in the game last year.
Yeah. Rob and I were in the press box, so they kept yelling at us, and most of our concentration went to not cheering because
– Well, I was just happy to get in. I don't think we got in the stadium until the beginning of the second quarter because getting in the stadium was such a gosh darn battle just to get in the stadium.
Oh, that's a fair point. All right, so let's move on. Having just beaten up on the O-line a little bit, the reality was that they were pretty good the last couple of years, and they won the Joe Moore Award 2 years ago. And even last year, at times it looked like the team struggled to move the ball late in games. But for the most part, I don't think you would argue that that was the O-line's fault. I mean, my sense is that you ran a guy a million times, and he eventually started getting nicked. And so that severely cut down on your ability to do different things. And oh, by the way, it didn't help that you never figured out who your feature back was going to be.
Yes.
But moving on, Army typically had a good O-line. What makes these guys good?
Well, I think that when you are good offensive linemen, don't necessarily have to be the 6'6" Sasquatch looking dude. Playing with leverage, staying low, moving your feet, knowing where you're going, putting your eyes in the right spot, knowing what the next guy is. So I always say you can block 2 guys on every play. You block 1 guy with your body and your hands and another guy with your eyes. And so that allows you to anticipate when to come off a block or where the defense is aligning and if they're shifting at the last second. So having the wisdom to know what to do in a very short, those guys up front are making very split second decisions. And if the guy moves at the last second before the ball snapped, he has to adjust. And that's not just, he might be in a stance that allows him to do what he needs to do. And that guy moves. So now he's at a disadvantage because his stance isn't the way he needs it to be. And there's nothing he can do about that because once they put their hand on the ground, they can't move. So those guys overcoming all those variables takes experience and wisdom. And so I think some of these guys were probably in their first year playing. If I remember correctly, they were first year starters, a couple of them. And so that's hard. You're playing against big, strong, fast, aggressive, well-coached guys, and that that don't have to wake up in the morning, go to meal formation, or stay up late and get all their homework done before they go to class, or learn how to shoot a gun in the summertime. None of that stuff is something that they have to do. So, the Army offensive linemen are overcoming so many other things other than just doing football to get on the field. And then once they get on the field, they're subjected to all the other variables that comes with playing offensive line. So I mean, I tip my hat to them. That's to be an Army football player or Navy football player or Air Force football player. Those guys can't be right in the head in any way, shape or form, because who would want, I mean, it's hard enough as it is. Who wants the other stuff that's, you know, they don't get to go home and there's no off, you know, there's no off button for them up there. So it's impressive that they were able to do what they can do. But I think that making a good offensive lineman is playing with leverage, knowing what you're doing, and then being able to apply all the strength, all the speed, all the knowledge, and all your technique in an effective manner. And I think you start with smart guys that can understand all that to start off with your the crop that you bring into West Point. So it does make it a little bit easier that you're not dealing with, you know, you're not dealing with guys that don't know how to read or something, you know, other issues.
On your show, the last show, you were talking about the difference between power runs and option, and either you or your guest described the option as quote unquote smoke and mirrors. Can you put that in context for us a little bit?
I like to say it's one of those where you wave your hand, you say, "Hey, look over here," and then you kick them in the nuts. That's what you're trying to do. That's the going back to the three tight end situation earlier. You're trying to create leverage on a formation with a formation, with a motion, with a shift. You're trying to gain angles. You're trying to gain a situation where you can take advantage of where they've aligned. And by lining up in three tight ends, you can do that. And we always call it we don't want to get George Washington. And that means you don't want to get outflanked. You don't want to have somebody outside. If you're a defensive guy, you don't want to have somebody outside of you. That's a bad situation to be in. And so, as an option team, I'm trying to move my players around within the rules with shifts and motions and adjustments to the different formations so that I can manipulate the defense to line up where I want them to, so that my quarterback can either put the best guy that we want to have to block and option him and make him wrong, or we get the favorable, like for me, and when we're running the option, I was always trying to get the defense alignment in a one technique for a for everybody that doesn't know what it is, you number the techniques up front so that you can talk the same language. So a guard on his inside shoulder, we would call it a one technique. Some people might call it a two eye. A head up technique would be a two, and an outside shoulder would be a three on the guard. On the tackle, they would inside shoulder. So the right guard or the right tackle on his inside shoulder, which would be his left shoulder, would be a four eye. A head up would be a four, and an outside technique, an outside shoulder on that tackle is a five. And that's the same techniques on both sides of the line, regardless of where you are. So when the guy comes off the field and I say, "Where is he?" He says three technique. I know what that automatically tells me what he's got. So I was trying to manipulate the defense through shifts, motions, and formations. I wanted a one technique somewhere on the field. And preferably if I could get the one technique to the tight end side, that meant I was going to have more guys on that side of the field than the defense. And I would have more leverage on the defense than they would have on me. And then we could run the option and it was easier on my interior guys with a one technique to the side we're running. So that's how I would approach it. And then it's always just, you come up, you divide the field in half, you count the guys on the left, you count the guys on the right, and you check to who has the lesser number guys. And that's kind of some simple premises that the option is going to run off of. And then it's just go and get after it and try to snap the ball before the defense can figure out, "Oh crap, we got a one technique. That's not good." And you know, that's the smoke and mirrors that I was referring to. So you always are trying to, you know, again, look over here and then kick them while they're not looking. So,
okay. Team captain / center Brady Small got picked as a preseason All-American. People have been saying he might be the best center in the country, which seems kind of absurd, but he is the only offensive lineman I can think about in probably 50 years or more who's played as a starter since his plebe year.
Yeah.
Which is
crazy.
It's nuts. Totally insane. And I think he might have even come straight from high school. I mean, the kid is just a total unit. So what makes him stand out? Like, as we're just watching on TV, what are we not seeing here?
If you go back to the Army Navy game, I think it was the third play of the game. Brady lines up, comes up to the line of scrimmage, and the left guard has a three technique on him. And he's not a tight three technique either. He's almost in the gap in between the guard and the tackle on the left side of the line of scrimmage. And he blocks him. He goes from the center position and overtakes the three technique with very little help from the guard and is able to gain leverage, meaning he puts his helmet between the defender and the football, which was running outside to the left at that point. He gets leverage on that three technique, which – in 100 years should never happen. If you're that three technique, he's probably getting his butt chewed. And I don't remember which guy it was from Navy, but it might have been their all everything nose guard.
Yeah, Robinson, that guy. He was very good.
Yes. I think it was Robinson that he reached, if I remember correctly. It might not have been. It might have been the 95. I don't remember what his name was, but he wasn't bad either. But I don't care who it is. We should put any one of us four out there in a three technique and not get reached by a center. It shouldn't happen. So the fact that he was able to do that in the biggest game of the year against, you know, all the pressure and everything's on the line, and for him to snap the ball and get over there and get that guy, that play alone, that's all I need to see. That kid can play football.
Interesting.
And then I watched an interview. I watched an interview with him with Gruden. I found an interview with him and the other team captain talking to John Gruden on one of his shows. He just seems like he's level headed. He's got it all put together. And if you're a 4-year starter at the university at the United States Military Academy at center, I can't imagine there's too many things that you run into that strike fear in your heart. I mean, that's incredible.
It's not surprising to me that he has it mentally or even emotionally. Because, you know, you meet those guys, but physically, that's nuts. It's nuts. So anyway, all right.
I agree.
Have you ever had a kid get recruited by West Point or one of the other service academies? And talk to us a little bit about that.
We had our running back last year at Naples High School.
Okay.
Sam Sparacio is at the prep school right now. He just showed up at the prep school.
West Point prep school.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. West Point prep. So he'll be out there on the field next spring.
Okay.
Hopefully trying to be one of the slot backs out there on the football field. So the recruiting process, since I went through it, and even in the last 5 years, has just gotten crazy. It's crazy. If you're just a regular kid that wants to play college football, it's just kind of slimy nowadays. And so the West Point recruiting is not slimy. It's those guys come in and, you know, they have parameters that people need to meet. They have expectations and, you know, it's grades and it's classes that you've taken. And, you know, you guys know all the SATs and everything that goes into it. It kind of eliminates all the slime that's out there with guys. You know, coaches come in and recruit a kid, and then 2 days before commitment day, they'll pull the scholarship from them. Or, you know, we had a kid leave. One of our former running backs was at a school, and he was happy where he was. Another school contacted him and said, "Hey, come here. We'll pay you this amount in NIL." And he said, "Well," and it was a good, chunk of change. So, you know, if somebody's going to offer you six figures, you
got to consider it, right?
You got to go. I mean, you're 19, 20 years old. How many times in your life do you get to sign a contract for $600,000 or whatever? Like, it's worth going. So he withdraws from school, portals to this other school, and a week before he's supposed to show up, they call him and buy him out of his NIL and say, "We changed our mind."
Wow.
And so now he doesn't have a school. So now he's scrambling in June to find a school to go to. And he basically got lured out of this school where he was because they gave him a deal that, you know, you should take that deal. How many times, how many times do you have a chance to secure that amount of money in your life?
It's a pain in the ass, but even still, I mean, did he get to keep the $600K at least?
If I remember correctly, they ended up buying him out at some reduced number. Amount. Yeah. Cause that's not a 1 year thing. That's like over a couple years. If I remember correctly. Okay. So it's like maybe a 3-year NIL contract deal worth $600,000 or whatever.
Yeah,
$700,000. Okay. So he ended up getting a buyout at a lesser amount. I don't know what the lesser amount was, but he ended up getting some money out of it. But great. You have, you know, so they give you $100,000 buyout. You have $100,000, but you don't have a college, you don't have a school. Right. And if you're a football player, it's all about playing the football. So where do you do now? So he was scrambling to find a school. He ended up landing in a good situation. So thankfully a crisis averted there for him, but it could have been bad. And that happens all the time. All guys go and portal and they end up going nowhere. And here they've left a good situation and now they're in a bad situation. That nobody talks about that. I'm waiting for the expose to come out and say, you know, there are 4,000 guys went in the portal and only 2,000 of them landed somewhere. And the other two are, you know, left hanging out to dry. And so you don't, my point is that the Army recruiting, you don't have that. It doesn't work out that way. They say what they're going to do and they do what they're going to say and the integrity's there. And so it's nice to be able to see that happen for the guys that are, interested in serving and going on and doing all that stuff that you guys get to do.
Okay, so let's close it out. Tell us about your current work. You are the trench doctor. What does that mean?
Well, I stepped away from coaching a couple years ago, and as you guys know, my wife ended up being a good decision. My wife was sick for a little while. We got her through the sickness, and everybody's doing good in that regard, so that's nice. But in the meantime, I just had free time. I didn't know what to do, and you can only go to the gym for so many days and so many hours, and I always had this thought in the back of my mind, and so I kind of sat down and I said, you know, if I do this, I got a couple buddies. I'll interview them. We'll do this podcast thing, and I'll share my wisdom and knowledge and create stuff for young coaches to check out and see. And maybe, you know, I don't know what, if it catches on, great. If it doesn't, who cares? It's kind of a passion project, and I've enjoyed doing it. And so I started this, interviewed a couple guys, thinking I'll do an interview and put out an episode a month. And I interviewed a couple guys and threw some invitations out to some other guys. And next thing I know, I have 15 interviews lined up, and I said, I can't go once a month now. I'm going to have to like step it up and go once a week. And so I've been talking to some players. I put out an episode this week with the Indiana State University Sycamore center, Drew Page, and the right guard, Andy Hartline, talking about how their camp went and talking about the Missouri Valley Football Conference in the FCS level is just brutal. I mean, they have an 8-game conference schedule. 6 of them are preseason top 20, and 2 of them are preseason top 5 schools on their schedule. So they just hit the second half of the season, and it's banger after banger after banger. And so that's been a lot of fun talking to coaches from Maine to Texas to California, all over, a couple in Canada. And so now I've gone to one, I quickly went to one show a week, and now I've put out 50 shows. I have another probably 10 to 15 shows I've already done that I'm just waiting to produce and put out, and constantly soliciting more guys and more coaches. And the offensive line group is a good crowd to do this with, because offensive line coaches will talk, they'll share, they're funny. That, you know, I say on my show, the funniest place on earth to be is in the offensive line meeting room about 10 minutes before the meeting starts, because it's just merciless. There is nothing out of bounds. There's nothing that's off color. There are raunchy jokes, funny jokes, good jokes, race jokes. It's all one big happy fat family. And you know, offensive linemen, they love being physical. They love being together. They love eating and drinking, and they love to laugh. And so that combination is a lot of fun. And I had a great group of guys every year coming through, and it was something I look back on. And so I wanted to share that with everybody, because not everybody has that insight into what the offensive line meeting room is like and what it's like to be around 15 offensive line minds. They're always working an angle of something on how to get out of practice, how to make it easier, when can we get food. They're always
Paul hung up on us. When do you guys want to take this commercial, and we'll see if he can get back?
Sure. All right, everybody. If you've listened to the show before, you know that we have a sponsor here. His name is Craig Oxane. Craig is the area sales manager for the Money Store. I don't know if that's right.
That is right.
Okay. I'm confusing myself.
Look at the card you have on the screen.
Yeah, the big giant image. Yeah, that would be helpful, right? But he's class of 1990. Class of 1994. He can lend in all 50 states. He's one of the most successful VA lenders in the country. He has super competitive rates. Craig is going to give you the best deal that he possibly can. Friends, the whole mortgage process is super confusing, and if you know anything about buying a house or doing all that paperwork, it is crazy, and you will sign about a 7-inch stack of paperwork. If it's your first home, if you're doing a refinance, you'll probably find a 6.5-inch stack of paperwork to get that process done, and Craig will help you through that whole thing. You know, if you're trying to refinance a house or whatever, this is not the time to deal with some big box bank or some internet website that just wants to get your money. Deal with somebody who actually cares, not a call center, not some big box bank or mindless website. This is how the West Point Network functions. Craig is helping us stay in business here at As for Football, and we're helping you get the better deal by the mortgage. Better deal on a mortgage by introducing you to the very man that you need to meet. Plus, Craig does not charge lender fees for veterans. That's a huge savings. You'll save about $1,300. So get that money. If you don't want the $1,300, please cut us a check. We will use it at As for Football. for some of the work that we're doing here. Craig Oxane, area sales manager at the Money Store. Check him out. The link is on the website. Thanks.
All right. Before we let you go, or actually, Paul, I'm not going to kick you off. I'd love for you to stay for the back of the show. But tell us where people can find you, and if you're like, I don't know if you're consulting or whatever, but just give us a little commercial here.
Yeah. Well, I have socials out there at on TikTok. It's the_trench_doctor. At Instagram, it's the Trench Doctor. On X, it's the Trench Doctor. And my Trenchometry show can be found on YouTube. And it is once a week, every Wednesday morning, comes out. We have socials that are clips from the show that I put out. And if you're looking for listening to coaches from all over the place, some high school coaches, I got some college coaches that are there, some guys up there in North Carolina, up near Fayetteville, at Fayetteville State, have been on. And in North Carolina State, I'll have Coach 2J out here in the next week or two. So some big names and a lot of good, interesting journeys and stories that are out there. And if you need some offensive line help, I'm there to help as well.
Paul, awesome, you're talking about how O-linemen like to eat. And I saw something on X talking about offensive linemen, like their team meal was a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with a honey bun.
I saw that. And it was if I remember correctly, it was like the quarterback coach or the running back coach that they gave it to. And he was like, he was touched because they thought enough of him to give him a honey bun peanut butter sandwich, and he was impressed. So I saw that too on whatever, I don't remember where it was, but I happened to come across that as well.
Yeah, no, I mean, honestly, it looked pretty good. So maybe that'll be our As for Football celebration at the
halftime snack.
There you go. Some peanut butter and jelly honey bun sandwiches. So.
All right, Jordan, you wanna drive for a minute, or am I still driving here to take us through the season's third quarter?
I can drive. Paul, appreciate all of your insights. Jump in wherever you feel like as we kind of blaze through the third quarter. So Tulsa, 4-8, 1-7 in the American.
Oh, I didn't mean you had to read all the stats. I just meant team. Okay, so for those of you who don't know, we're going to lift the curtain a little bit. I effed up and I forgot to outline this port, so I just basically cut in the article. So I definitely was not trying to get Jordan to read this whole article to you, but that's what's in the outline.
I mean, I was just going to paraphrase it and kind of wing it, Dan. Once again, like, obviously, we are very professional and buttoned up here at As for Football.
Yeah, send it straight to the Broadcast Hall of Fame.
Exactly. Yeah, we all have rogue jobs, so apologies that sometimes things slip.
All right, go for it, Jordan.
No, Dan, you know what?
I'm leaving you.
I'm going to let you drive, Dan. Right. I'm going to let you drive.
All right, so we have been breaking this down into quarters. This is the third quarter of the season, so the third set of three games. It's kicking off at Tulsa, which, as you guys remember, Tulsa was not a great team last year, but they were good enough to come into Mikey Stadium and beat the Black Knights on freaking Class of 95 reunion day. That was very frustrating.
You're not bitter, though. That's good.
Yeah, well, last year they were 4-8, 1-7 in the American, so congratulations. We gave them their one win. But they returned sophomore quarterback Baylor Hayes. He threw for almost 2,200 yards, 59%, 12 touchdowns against 6 picks, but he took a whopping 23 sacks. We'll see what that looks like. On defense, the Golden Hurricane returned most of their secondary, but not a lot else. I'm always skeptical of that working out. And projected line, this is, again, my projected line based on FPI and SP Plus, has Army about 1.5 favorite on the road. I well remember the Black Knights being up by 2 scores in the third quarter and giving the game away on turnovers and just the inability to be efficient in drives and make first downs. Guys, do we have thoughts on this game?
Yeah, so for all these games, and it goes back to, and it's a very much the flip side of what Paul was saying, right? So, like, offensive efficiency leads to the number of high defensive plays, right? If you have more than 55 plays in modern college football, you're probably losing the game. And that's where it comes into the offensive efficiency. So these how these things play together, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at the opposite side of it, if the offense is efficient, the defense plays more plays. Turnovers leads to the defense playing more plays. And so in Army's losses, they've had over 60, you know, over 55 plays in those games. And that's what happens, right? So the game slips away from them when they lose control of the ball, right? And like the Army formula is there, right? Control the ball, feed the fullback, run the option. And when they get away from that scheduling, they typically don't do as well as they should. And Tulsa was one of those games. And of course, you know, anytime Army loses at home, you know, that's not good because of Monken's record.
They had a losing record at home last year. I didn't realize that until I was working on this, which is nuts.
Which is a first in a very
you go to a bowl game with a losing record at home for Army. That's like very unusual. Just shows what a crazy season it was.
Yeah, that's not standard.
Jordan?
Yeah, I feel like Tulsa is always just that kind of team that does not have a good record, but somehow manages to beat a good team. I think that's unfortunately what happened to us. And, you know, I imagine that very well could happen again this year, Dan, to your point. So we got to play a solid four quarters of football. I think that was something we did not see a lot of last year. We'd play a great, you know, three quarters and then fourth quarter fall apart, or we would have a great second half, but not have a great first half. So I think, you know, this is one of those teams where you have to play a complete game of football against them. Otherwise you're going to put yourself at risk.
Paul?
I was looking at last year's game, and they had a turnover to start the game off. Drove all the way down into Tulsa's into the field and turned the ball over at the almost inside the 20, about the 25-yard line. So that's 5 points off the board, and you didn't get three for the field goal. So that gave the other team 5 points and took 3 points away from you. So that's a swing right there. You get points there, that wins the game for you.
Yeah. Fair. The second game in this set is at Memphis. Last year they were 8-5 in 2025, 4-4 in the American. None of that matters because you've got a new coach with whole new team. It is Charles Huff. He won the Sun Belt with Marshall and then famously decamped for Southern Miss, taking his entire team with him, leaving Army to win that bowl game over the fill-in La Tech by a million points. They have a quarterback that listening to Omar, we all expected quarterback Air Nolan III to start. But I was reading today that apparently he is probably not going to start at Memphis. So I have no idea what to think about this team, but we'll get a chance to see them at UNLV this weekend. So that's kind of interesting. Mm-hmm. Projected line has Army almost a 6-point underdog. I wish we got this team a little earlier in the season. By late October, I think that all those athletes will be playing as a team. But we shall see. Definitely think Army's got every chance in this one. Anybody? Thoughts?
Yeah, so really quickly, I'm going to go back to a point that I made last week. It seems like now that Army is in the American, just about every team on the roster is a rivalry game, right? So, you know, it is because, like, if you play North Texas, it's a tough game. If you play Memphis, it's a tough game. When has Army not had a tough game against an American Conference opponent, either before they joined the conference or since they've been in it, right? So we're going into year three, and, you know, it's good to have that level of competition because it makes you work harder to play better. But, like, can you get a break? There are no cupcakes on Army schedule, right? Period. To include the FBS or the FCS team, right? There's always a tough outing for Army. And, you know, the bigger schools have the luxury of being able to, you know, schedule two or three out-of-conference games with, you know, some softballs in there. But I genuinely think, like, if you go down the roster year over year, Army always has tough competition, which is good because that's what we want. But, you know, Memphis has to make a statement because these guys, you know, will constantly continue to pound that drum like, hey, we want to go to the SEC. We want to go to the SEC. Well, you know, if you're not a conference champion and you don't run the table in the American, the SEC is not going to show any interest in a conference realignment this year, next year, or any year. So, you know, that's like, I don't know if that's one of the underpinnings or storyline that's going on at Memphis right now, but I know it was a couple of years ago that they were trying desperately to get into the SEC. You know, we're in Tennessee, you know, we might as well go to the SEC kind of thing. But I'll put a pin on that.
Yeah, I don't really know what to expect. I do think, you know, Paul was kind of talking about earlier from a recruiting perspective, but I do think it's interesting, you know, these teams that get all this talent and then they can't quite pull it together because all these people came in from the portal and whatever else. So it's going to be interesting at a macro level to look at college football this year and what teams came together and performed, even though so many people were from the portal versus which teams couldn't. And so I think there's a little bit of that with Memphis. You know, I think none of us on this call are Charles Huff fans. So it'll be interesting to see how it all shakes out and what, you know, his leadership is able to do with the, you know, a group of players that have moved and, you know, players that I don't know, Dan, I agree that I wish we had them earlier in the season, cause I think they'll probably figure it out by October. But you never know.
It's frustrating to me because Army as American Conference champion versus Marshall as Sun Belt Conference champion was a really interesting bowl game.
Yeah.
And what we got was not interesting. No. Paul?
I kind of think of Memphis as the island of misfit toys, and they don't ever seem to get their crap straight. And consequently, I was on one losing team in college, and it was the most miserable season ever because you have to go do everything still, and there's no incentive to go do it. Your hands hurt, your body hurts. You got to get up and go to lift. You got to get up and go get treatment, and you got to go to meetings, and you got to, you know, you still have to do everything. But if you're 3-6 and you get it together, who cares? You're not going to a bowl game. You're just trying not to get hurt. You play safe. You play scared almost. And so I don't know if having them late makes a difference if they can't get their stuff together early on. So that's my thoughts on that.
Yeah. I feel like Memphis has been rudderless since, mm-hmm. you know, Mike Norvell left, and it's, I don't know. We'll see.
They definitely are that team that every year they're like, oh, this is their year. And every year it's not their year.
Even when Norvell was there, right? Of like, they had a couple really great years, but it's like UCF always beat them. Didn't matter. Mm-hmm. You know, they would always come close. And I feel like they've not necessarily come close in a while, but they're still kind of riding that high of, you know, they got a lot of credibility and they've been kind of riding that and just don't quite live up to expectations. Maybe this is the year. I don't know. First year head coach, a lot of people out of the portal. Maybe 6-6. Who knows?
I mean, we'll see. Let's see what they look like on Saturday. Yeah. All right. And then finally, week 10. Air Force 4-8 last year, 3-5 in the Mountain West. Man, the Mountain West is not the same, and that might mean as much as anything else. Liam Zark is back after missing four games with an injury last year. The injury was only a broken arm, so that's not going to matter at all. I wouldn't be surprised if they come in on a roll just because the Mountain West isn't what it used to be. Yeah. But on the other side, that defense is almost completely rebuilt. And especially that D-line is going to be all new. And if you really look at Air Force, how their D-line goes tends to be how their team goes. Yeah. So on that, I mean, I'm prepared for them to prove me wrong. I'm definitely not selling them eternally, but it's a bad sign that they already released their alternate uniforms before the season even started. And it's a bad sign that their D-line isn't coming in, is going to be all new. This game is a home game for Army. The Black Knight should be about a field goal favorite, according to my very rudimentary math. We shall see. Paul, we'll ask you what you think of this one first.
I love the uniforms first. Okay. I thought the uniforms were pretty,
they're very
dope. Yeah. and they do that normally, though. They do normally release their uniforms early, which I never understood why Army and Navy don't, because there's such a run on everything at the Army Navy game. You can't get what you want because it's so hard to get it. Anyway, I think Air Force has struggled. We do have DeGrigley is one of our kids is out there at Air Force. He'll be a plebe, a Zumi, whatever they call him out there. And so my daughter's an Air Force Academy grad. This is kind of a big game in the family with my other daughters who are West Pointers and my wife. So I've been disappointed in how Air Force is kind of the talent they've put on the field. It seemed like they've been very young and very slow and very weak the last couple of years. So maybe those guys are older and faster and will be a little bit better of a
football
team.
They seem like they're struggling with the portal more than Army and Navy with losses to the portal.
Yeah.
Jordan.
Yeah. You know, Dan, I remember a couple of years ago, I was in Denver for my class reunion, the, you know, Army Air Force game, and Air Force had come in on a 7-8 game win streak or whatever. We beat the brakes off them.
Yes.
And not that I think we're going to necessarily beat the brakes off them, but I think that they're going to build up a lot of momentum and buzz in the Mountain West. And so it'll be interesting to see how that then transfers to playing Navy and then playing Army and what that kind of looks like. So, I mean, I could see this being a, you know, very high performing Air Force team that really doesn't end up actually doing anything. or, you know, potentially they're one that could go the entire distance. But the fact that their defense needs, you know, so is losing so much depth and so much leadership, I would imagine they'll probably get off to a hot start early in the Mountain West and then kind of fall apart in the second half of the season.
Well, they don't have to play Boise State, but they do have to play North Dakota State, and I'm not sure how much different that's going to look on the ground. Rob?
Yeah, so just two things. One, like, if Troy Calhoun loses every game, I will not cry. I think the dude's kind of a jerk, right? So, like, any coach that, like, takes the rivalry so far to the point that you don't want to shake hands with the opposing team's coach, you deserve to lose, and I should run a toss sweep and have my running back run into you very often. on that hatch. But the other part of it is, you know, Liam Zarka coming back after his injury, like what we've seen with Service Academy football is when the QB develops into the position, then that's a scary proposition for all their opponents, right? So, like, I think, like Jordan said, Air Force will come in on a heater because, like, the new Mountain West does not has the level of heavy hitters as they did last year. So I think they'll do well up until that point. And then, you know, Army can sock them in the mouth, and then we'll watch the back end of their season go to crap. I think that's honestly what's going to happen because Air Force tends to jump out on people early. If they get ahead of you, then you've got a fight in front of your hands. But if you pop them in the mouth, you know, they're just like the bully, like you hit them hard once and then they'll back off. But I legitimately think that, you know, it's going to be 30 years to the ass whooping that they took at night at Mikey Stadium in 1996. Mm-hmm. It's coming again. You know, I'm going to say that right now. That's probably the only marker I'll put down this year. But it's been 30 years under the lights at Mikey. Air Force does not play well under the lights at Mikey Stadium. I mean, you think about every time they play Army at home at night, they lose. Like, to include 2020. And so, you know, it's just going to be another one going on line up and take that beating. And we'll move on with the rest of our day.
Oh, from your lips to God's ears. Rob, can I tag you back in to tell us about Warriors Fitness?
Yes, absolutely. So there is a reason why you don't need another workout, right? You need a coach who's an expert in fitness and proven protocols, and more importantly, somebody who's survived total physical, mental collapse of themselves and then rebuild themselves from the fire to make themselves even stronger and better. Greg Iannicelli is a West Point graduate, class of 97, U.S. Army veteran, a successful enterprise software sales executive, IFBB pro bodybuilder, NCI certified fitness coach, and now the founder of Warriors Physique Fitness. After losing everything, his marriage, his identity, his confidence, his physical and mental health, Greg completely rebuilt himself from rock bottom through faith, discipline, and elite level training. At 50 years old, he became the overall classic physique bodybuilding champion at the MPC Masters U.S. National Championships in Las Vegas and earned his IFBB pro card, proving that it's never too late to become the warrior that you were meant to be. Like, legitimately, Greg's a friend of mine. I've known him most of my adult life, and he's just a good dude, and he put in the effort, and he's willing to put that same level of effort that he put into himself to win a championship in supporting you on your fitness goals. So, today's Greg's mission is to coach men and women who are struggling in decline to resurrect themselves physically, mentally, and spiritually with his online coaching program. If you are ready to reclaim your strength, your confidence, your warrior ethos, identity, apply now to Warriors Physique Fitness to start writing your own comeback story. As a special note, Greg is offering active duty military veterans and first responders a 15% discount off of their first 16-week transformation fee. AFF and First Club members and West Point grads get a massive 30% discount on top of the same fee. Like all of our sponsors, Greg has a business card. It looks just like what you see on the screen. So just find that, click on it, and you'll be talking to Greg in a few minutes, and he will get you squared away, and you can start your next fitness journey. Back to you.
Paul, thank you very much for coming on. This is a great show. Ran a little long, but man, really, really good. And
love it.
And we got 100% more numbers in there than I thought we were going to, which is good because, God damn it, we love engineering on this show. I'll just close out with my favorite thing. It's not really a favorite thing, but we've had some people join us on Patreon recently. We've got Week Zero Games and our chat there in our Discord group, which is great. And just to put out, you know, like, this stuff is not free. I'm not begging you for money, but I know you're a bunch of West Pointers and you can afford it. And I'm just telling you, like, we need your support. Season's coming up. We got a lot planned. tailgate t-shirts and actual tailgates and like all kinds of stuff. Join us for that on Patreon. Like we want and need your support. And we really appreciate the guys who've been with us for a while. And that's it. Thanks. Go Army, beat Navy.
Beat them.
Like and subscribe for more Army football analysis. Shop our store today. Go Army. Beat Navy.
That'll do it for this edition of the Ask for Football Army Football Show. Big thanks to everyone riding with us each week as we break down the black nights, the season, and everything that makes Army football special. Before we get out of here, a huge thank you to our sponsor, Josh LeBron.